So the most conservative number I can show you is $12 plus $32.75. So that's $44.45. These are just numbers I'm making up, but they're good numbers, right? So $44.75 would be your very conservative expectation should the things that Michael's describing come to play. Then we get to 55, which is my volatility assessment, right? And then who knows what's going to happen after that.
Welcome to the Morning Markets and Metals with Vince Lancey, where each day he brings you the precious metals and financial news to get you ready for your day. And now, here's Vince.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Vince Lancey, and today's market rundown will be we'll be giving you a homework assignment on Indian gold demand, and we'll go through some charts. Before we do that, let's look at the markets themselves. I am leaving the Bitcoin weekly chart up there. That should look like something that you've seen recently. By recently, I mean the gold market, cup and handle, that type of stuff. Well, we might have another one of those in Bitcoin on the weekly. And if Bitcoin's anything like gold, then we know it is. Breaking this high here could be pretty substantial, but I'll have to talk to a technical analyst on that. The dollar is up 4. 10-year yields are down 5. Thank goodness. You know, I'm long those. S&P 500 is 56.39, up almost 3 handles. The VIX is 13.28, up 15. VIX keeps rallying in a rallying market. Gold 24.39, up 18. The title of today's show is The Fist Unclenching. Okay, or loses its grip. I forget, but we'll find that in a second. Silver is 30.82, up a weak 15 cents compared to gold, signaling that there is more silver selling while there is gold buying. Copper is 4.49, down a penny, also signaling that silver should not be as strong. WTI is down $1.44. That's pretty massive. At 80.63. I don't know why that is. I have to look at that. Natural gas is up a penny. Nothing to do with WTI at 214. Bitcoin is down 1.5%. Ethereum is down 1.8% at 63,800 and 3,400. Palladium and platinum are both down small, less than on average 50 basis points at 942 and 990. And grains are scattered higher. Soybeans, 10.88, up 5 cents. Corn, 3.87, up 4 cents. And wheat, 5.38, up almost 3 cents. Right? That looks like the gold saucer and whatever you call it, saucer of milk. All right, let me get my focus back here. Where are we? This is where we are. The grip loosens. That's what I call this. Okay. Pardon my my scatterbrain at the moment. Okay. So today's story is The Grip Loosens, tentatively titled, and it's going to be about the gold and silver breakout implications. We're going to try and come up with some price ideas, and you'll have some homework on Indian gold demand. Basically, what we have is a little bit more of a breakdown of analysis for premium at the bottom and the Michael for the Michael Oliver research, some Indian a chart on Indian gold demand, and we have some ideas on how to project where the targets should be reasonably in gold and silver. Yesterday, market implications of the Trump assassination attempt. This was, well, it was a must listen. Talks about how gold is now leading bonds and the dollar as opposed to reacting to it. Very significant, although not something you will ever, 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 ever hear discussed in the mainstream media, let alone by most bank analysts. And the front-running concept about gold, oil, and Bitcoin sellers and how they operate. A lot of stuff. The grip loosens. First, let's start with your homework, right? I'm going to give you a reason to come back if you think this is interesting. The chart you're looking at there is India's gold demand versus price in dollars, all right? The dark blue histogram, that's the amount of buying that India does, with years labeled at the bottom in tons on the left. So 0, 50, 100, 150. And on the right scale is the price of gold on a monthly close basis. So for example, gold went up to 1900 and change in 2011, 2012, but it didn't settle above there on a monthly basis. So that's why it's not as high. This chart is very accurate. So what you have is a light blue line chart plotting price, and you have Indian gold demand. Looks like they're putting it up there by, looks like by quarter. Each bar is a quarter, I think, over the years, and revealing several patterns. So the question I have for you is, for all of you, is the question I ask myself. What does this chart tell you about Indian gold demand? That's all. You won't be wrong. The question is, how far will you go in asking that question before coming up with a conclusion? Now, everything you need to have a decent opinion on this is right there. This is not fundamental research. This is not going in and finding out the economics. This is just what we used to call ocular regression. You see it. You tell yourself a story about it. You see if the story makes sense from the other data on the chart, and then you handicap the chances that it's true. And I will tell you this, I wouldn't be wasting your time with this if I didn't tell you that this is extremely, extremely bullish. And we'll get into why tomorrow. So moving on, gold and silver breakout implications. Michael Oliver's report over the weekend talked about two things in chart terms, and I've kind of replicated them. One is the basically a historical run through of his gold levels and where we can go now. And the other is on silver, and that's about how this move has an analog to the 2010-2011 move. So let's start with the gold chart. All right, the gold chart is, I'm going to go through his timeline, right? We discussed this more at the bottom, right? So you can't see the words. That says MSA bull initiation. This is in 2016. So my guess is he saw this coming off the bottom. Maybe we made a new low, and a momentum indicator of his did not make a new low, I'm guessing. And the market started to grind higher. I remember this era. I bought silver when gold started to move. I got a breakout signal in gold and bought silver. And I ate crow for a year. I had a position for a year. I didn't figure it out until we got, say, to here. And the here was someone was selling silver to buy gold, which is what we're going to talk about again today, which is what bullion banks do when they have to buy gold for them or for someone else. And then he discusses the progression in loose terms. So basically you have your breakout. By the way, you see this here? There's your cup and handle. So he may not talk about cup and handles, but my guess is, you know, you have your rally, you have your sell-off, you have your bottom. He recognizes the bottom. And so now he may not be saying cup and handle, but he's saying weakened momentum lower, going higher. Here's your progression. And now you have your little bit of congestion there, right? So cup and handle. By the way, a cup and handle essentially is the cup part is a sell-off that's mirrored on the other side, but the up ramp usually has more volume than the down ramp, and it's a little bit or as much or more volume, and the incline is more regimented. It's like this is like people panicking and getting out. This is a liquidation sell-off. This is an accumulation rally buy, right? Accumulation rally. So there are different personalities. Like, for example, see that there? That's a liquidation sell-off. I mean, an orderly sell-off. So, all right, so now we go into the congestion area, staying on point here, and he notes that there are three tops in it, marking the congestion area, and above that, we have our acceleration. Now, his acceleration says above 2,500 and change on a monthly close, and this market should start to really rip. That's it. He doesn't give a target, but I'll give you a target. Market settles above 25 and doesn't close. The market settles above 25 on a monthly basis and doesn't close below 2,500 on a weekly basis. Then I would say, you know, you're clear to 27, 3,000. I'm looking at measured moves here. I have no science. It's not supply and demand. It's gold. Moving on to silver in 2010, 2011, he identified what he called a sideways movement. Now this here, this is an ellipse on his chart, and this is probably a very key momentum thing for him. But this behavior, spike high and healthy pull, not even pullback, spike high and then a resumption, that informs him of something. I think it's probably key. And then we have what he would call a correction. This is a healthy correction. And then above the healthy correction, he has a line here. And above that, we run. Okay. Keep that in your mind as we go to, so sideways channel, probably where his momentum indicator came in. Remember that little, not even a correction, right? Doesn't even break. Look at it this way. Here, we'll go back. It doesn't even break the trend line. It looks like a spike high and a sell-off, but it doesn't even break the trend line. So it's not even a correction, right? Spike high, doesn't even break the trend line. It's not even a correction, right? Then a resumption of the rally and now the pullback. So if we get above, let's say that, which I think for him is like 32.75. I'm not sure if he's using a future or spot. And then we have an acceleration. So what's his acceleration for silver? Well, his acceleration for silver is actually based on, from what he said in the report, it's based on gold. Meaning if gold's above 25 and change on a monthly close and silver's above 32.75, then we're definitely in acceleration phase. And acceleration phase, I think he said, could last quarters. Now, if you want to put a number on that, I would say, looking at the gold and silver, looking at the silver analog, this is a $6 move. That's a $12 move. I'm sorry. This is a $12 move. That's a $25 move. All right. This is a $6 move from here to here. That would be a $12 move, putting us at 30, 44, 45, 46. You're like, well, that's not very exciting. We went to 50 before. Right. I'm just giving you the baseline, right? That's the baseline. The reality of it is, if you look at these two charts, there's one thing that doesn't match up, and that is the volatility, right? This is now we're in my world. Low volatility compared to this. So now you start thinking in terms of percentages, okay? And you come, I came up with this using volatility as a measure begets $55, okay? So this ends up being that. So for example, from here to here is a move to 32.75, breaks above 32.75, ends up going to, think in terms of Fibonacci's, if you're not a volatility person, puts me at $55. Now, again, that's conservative. So the most conservative number I can show you is $12 plus 32.75. So that's 44, 45. These are just numbers I'm making up, but they're good numbers, right? So 44.75 would be your very conservative expectation should the things that Michael's describing come to play. Then we get to 55, which is my volatility assessment, right? And then who knows what's going to happen after that, okay? And then we get to come back to his assessment. His assessment coming back to it is if gold gets above 25 and change and silver ignites, you should expect the gold-silver ratio to get, in his terms, about 2.5 to 3% easily, which puts silver at 62. Now, the thing is, gold-silver ratio went much higher in the past on rallies like this. So gold-silver ratio can go to 3%, 4%. Not going to say it's going to go up to 8%, but it can, you know, it can move if you're looking at the 1980 analogs. So look, I mean, if gold gets above 25 and change and silver's above 32.75 concurrently, silver's going to run. That's my prediction. How am I going to trade this? Aside from the position I have, completely speculatively, I want to share this with you. All right. If gold gets above, I'm going to use Michael's numbers to create my own trading play. If gold gets above, nice voice, right? If gold gets above 2,500 on a monthly close basis and settles strongly, settles well, and other indicators indicate that it's not too overbought or not overbought or what have you, right? And silver's below 3,275, I'm not going to buy silver. Okay? Because that indicates to me, in my experience, his technicals are saying silver needs to be above 3,275. It's its own market. And a combination of gold rallying and silver not getting above his level says to me, someone's buying gold again and selling silver. I'm not going to have my ass handed to me like I did back in 2016. Conversely, if gold gets above 2,500 and silver is below and near 3,275, you're supposed to be bullish gold. But I'm not going to buy gold. I'm going to sit on my hands and I'm going to wait for silver to break above 3,275. And if it does, then I will see silver joining the party as it frequently does late and then completely outperforming everything, just tearing the market up. And that's what happens now. They buy gold, they sell silver to finance the gold. And then 6 months later, they go, oh shit, silver hasn't come off yet. Let's buy our silver back. And boom, it's all started years ago, this behavior. Anyway, so that's it. That's where I am. Data on deck today. It's Tuesday. Retail sales. That's pretty important. You'll probably will have seen it by then, by the time you see this. And the RNC convention. Quick comment on it, quick observation on that. Donald Trump picked his VP candidate, JD Vance. And I guess you could say that the market's like that. I don't know how to take that. I really don't. But JD Vance is young. Demographically, he's a millennial, I think. So I mean, that's pretty much it. That's the news. At the bottom, the premium, you have the MSA analysis broken down a little bit more digestible for people. And let's go to the gold chart. I'll show you where we are today. You know, I keep drawing these trading range lines and we keep breaking out of them. You know, there is no resistance in a bull market. So here we are, right? I don't think this is going to be a trading range, but man, if this, the fist analogy, here, let me put this back up. This is really like, we got to give Michael credit for this. The grip loosens. Michael made a comment in his report. He said, gold is captured between 24, call it 2460 and 2290. And he says it feels like it's in the grip of a tight fist. And although he didn't say it, the analogy is very similar to what I'm seeing in terms of the flows. It's captured, it's kept in a range, it's kept under control. It feels like when someone gets what they want, I'm putting people's names on it. When the banks or the customer buys enough that they want, they'll loosen their grip and it will run. Hence his analogy, it's in a tight fist. So when that grip loosens, it should run. And it feels like the grip is loosening. It hasn't opened up yet. The fist is still there, but you know, this would be an inflection point for new all-time highs. I'm Vince. Have a great day.
Well, thanks for tuning into today's Markets and Metals with Vince Lancey. The show is brought to you each day by Miles Franklin Precious Metals, who we encourage you to consider for your next gold or silver purchase or sale. Miles Franklin has pricing that's among the best in the industry on most products, and Arcadia is proud to be a licensed Miles Franklin representative and happy to help whenever you have questions or want to place an order. Where this week's specials include 2024 Silver Eagles from the U.S. Mint for only $5.95 over spot, and 2024 1/10 ounce Gold Eagles for only $39 over melt. And of course, you can find out more by calling us at 833-326-4653 or emailing Arcadia at milesfranklin.com. Happy to answer any questions you have, give you pricing on other products, and help you get set up with whatever you need. So thanks as always for tuning in, and we'll see you again tomorrow. Please note that this video is not intended as legal licensed financial trading advice and is to be used for informational purposes only. Please contact your financial advisor before making any decisions, and thanks for watching.